the night has come and the land is dark.
From the studios of the 24-hour talk radio capital of West Louisiana and East Texas, all information, all talk, KWLA. This is Open Line, live on KWLA Eneco, KWLV Manny, KVCL Winfield, KBDV Leesville, KTHP Hemphill, KZBL Natchitoches, and worldwide at KWLA1031.com or on the KWLA mobile app. The views on this program do not reflect the views of any of the stations in this broadcast or any of the advertisers. The views are expressly those of the people expressing those views. If you choose to comment on the program, guest, or contents of the program, email kwla at bdcradio.com. Now, live from the KWLA studios, Ted Dumas. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's program.
And good morning. Thanks for being a part of our morning. It's a Monday morning. Looks like it's going to be a great day. Want to catch a movie? Parkway Cinema has Bob Marley, One Love, Madam Webb, Lisa Frankenstein. Go to AcadianaCinema.com and click on the Parkway Cinema. Get the show dates, times, everything you need to know. Quality Wood Furniture, located 2 miles north of Leesville on 171. Thanks for supporting their business. They'd like to furnish your home with a selection of quality wood furniture, including chairs, rockers, desks, bookcases, tables, home entertainment centers, cabinets, and more. All with real wood. No particle board. That's Quality Wood Furniture. The Attorney General of the State of Louisiana, Liz Burrell, is our guest this morning. Liz, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ted. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I hope you had a good weekend. So here's my question. Just about everybody listening this morning has either had some procedure where that they were put to sleep for a medical thing or they know someone that did. I mean, it's easy to do. Yet the previous governor thinks we take all people that's on death row, give them a get-out-of-jail card free and maybe a free movie pass. The new governor thinks that people need to understand punishment is in order when someone dies. Why is it so hard to put someone to death?
You know, Ted, there's been a national movement to try and block the death penalty in states that have it, still, you know, legalized as a penalty for egregious crimes, as we do here in Louisiana, and we've been fighting that movement for some time, and I think the law that's being proposed in the criminal session is going to expand some of the ways that we can implement the penalty, and it will help address some of those national left-wing attempts to block our laws.
Okay, so the special session starts. You're a big part of it as the Attorney General because it's dealing with crime. Take me through the special session, what we hope to accomplish.
Well, the death penalty bill is one of them. You know, the lower the age after a push under the prior administration to raise the age by which we can move juveniles into the adult system and prosecute them as adults. That's a hugely important bill. We've seen this problem explode with juveniles in our system. They're older kids, they're 17, they're 16, and they are repeat violent offenders, and they attack the staff, they destroy the facility, and they attack other youth, and they control the other youth. So it really makes it impossible for us to deliver the services that we're obligated to deliver, and those kids pose a significant risk to the community. So this is a bill that will address that, and I support it completely.
So when you say address it, what will it do? Will it change the age?
It will lower the age back so that we can move 17-year-olds out of the juvenile system.
So don't we also have a problem, too, where hardened criminals are going out soliciting juveniles to do crimes for them, knowing that they're going to go home?
Yes. I mean, I think that's a problem we've seen in certain cities, and certainly in New Orleans we saw that crime increased with young kids, even as young as 10 and 11 years old, and it's because they perceive the system to be less penal, that they're going to not go to jail, except they may go to jail, but it's really a juvenile jail. It's a facility that holds them in secure care as an adjudicated delinquent, not as a criminal. And in those facility, in that system right now, I think it's very out of balance because of the movement to not keep kids in secure care. And that is very expensive. I mean, we need to be honest about that. But holding kids in secure care costs us a lot more money than holding an adult in an adult facility. But some of these crimes require that.
This may be something you can't comment on if you can't understand, but looking at what's taken place the last week or so, the gigantic ruling in New York about Donald Trump and pretty well putting him out of business in New York, will that have any chance of survival through the appeal process?
Yeah, sure, it does have a chance of survival. It depends on, you know, how the appeal courts treat the factual findings made by the court or the jury. I think in that case it was the jury. So, you know, there's, once you get into the appellate system, there are different rules for reviewing a judgment. And they're very deferential to juries. So, you know, I think there is a chance of that.
Okay, but the case I'm talking about was just the judge. There's different cases up here, so I think I told you the wrong case. The case I'm talking about is where they're saying that he overstayed his values in the company and they fined him like $300-something million, yet nobody says they were harmed.
Well, I mean, it depends on what the judge's fact findings are. Again, it's all about how the Court of Appeal is going to treat those factual determinations. Whether they're from a judge or they're from a jury, courts of appeal usually are very deferential to those fact findings. And so it depends, you know, on how the Court of Appeal will treat that and whether they think there was a legal error committed by the judge.
The governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, wants to take control of the defense for criminals. What's your thoughts on that?
Look, I think we need some reforms to the public defender system that was created some years ago under a supervisory board. I've read the bill, and I'm kind of neutral on it. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I think that we could make some changes to the board itself and also improve the services and the system that we've created under that board. There's a lot of money that gets spent, and a lot of that money goes toward death penalty defense. I mean, I think that the public defender system is absolutely part of our system. We cannot get convictions without a public defender system. So I really hate seeing all of the money siphoned off to death penalty defense. We've got to have a certain amount of defense on appeal for all of our cases, but I think we should make sure that we've got a vibrant system so that we can have final adjudications and get victims to be satisfied that they're seeing justice in our justice system.
After a person has been convicted and they're on the death row, you can still spend, what, millions of dollars on defense?
Millions.
Oh, my God.
Millions. And there's expert witnesses, and it goes for years. You know, I mean, we have death penalty cases right now that are where there are still appeals being filed in either state or federal court that occurred decades ago. They just don't stop. I mean, they never do stop, and they will not stop. Even when a warrant is set for an execution, they will start up again. Now, I'm confident that we can fight those challenges because I believe, you know, I've looked at those. We've been fighting them off, and I got one case dismissed at a federal court and cleared the path. We could have moved forward under John Bell. He just didn't want to move any of the cases forward.
But bear with me here for a second. Aren't a lot of those filings really have nothing to do with guilt or innocence?
Most of the time they don't, because they've moved past that stage. So they usually have to deal with purported constitutional legal errors.
Wow. The Attorney General, Liz Merle, is with us this morning. Session starts today. We'll be back in a moment. In a world where it's hard to be sure of a lot of things, one thing you can count on, Bass Heating and Cooling. They provide quality, hometown-friendly service. You can call them at 318-554-9884. When you do, mention you heard it here, get a 10% discount. Go to Facebook or go to their website at bassheatingandcooling.com.
This is Mary Scruggs from Natchez, Louisiana. I'm a senior at Northwestern State University, majoring in communications. I chose NSU to pursue a career as a professional communicator, such as a journalist, digital content producer, or advertising and public relations specialist. If you live in Natchez Parish, I hope you'll consider joining myself and others here at NSU for a great education and a pathway to a career. We have scholarship opportunities available. Contact us at nsu.la/visit to schedule a free tour. Forkham Demons!
When it comes to clothing and accessories for the great outdoors, there's no better place to shop than Nichols. Drop by the clothing department and check out our colorful selection of men's and ladies' shirts and t-shirts by Drake Waterfowl Systems. Beat the heat this summer with a wing shooter shirt with Stay Cool cotton fabric. We've got Drake logo t-shirts in men's and ladies' sizes, great colors, and a super selection, too. For boots, clothing, home decor, and accessories, there's no better place to shop than your local Nichols store.
Star Pawn Gun and Archery, Interest Road, Leesburg, has one of the largest selection of hunting guns, home defense guns, tactical guns, and handguns in the area. Star Pawn Gun and Archery also has an archery pro shop, NRA, military and law enforcement discounts. We service and warranty what we sell. Layaway and financing available? You bet. Star Pawn Gun and Archery, Interest Road, Leesville. Call them at 537-1756. 537-1756. Star Pawn Gun and Archery.
AGS Auto Glass Service, located at 2017 South 5th Street, wants to remind you to bring a chipped, cracked, or shattered windshield to them so they can bring it back to clarity with fast, friendly service. Call 337-238-1821. AGS Automotive Glass Service offers windshields, mirrors, furniture tops, glass windows, power windows, front window shields, mobile service, plexiglass, and Lexan repair. That's AGS Auto Glass, your hometown automotive glass specialist with over 50 years experience.
For decades, we've been helping the folks in Western Louisiana and East Texas. With the addition of my daughter, Liza, who is a certified financial planner professional, our family tradition of proven conservative management continues. As the old man's still around, I'd say we're moving on up. Time-tested with rural family and investing values. Proven management of your hard-earned dollars in this day of economic uncertainty. Give us a call. Wayne Christian Financial Services, 936-598-9966, or on the web at waynechristian.com.
Hey, welcome back. Don't forget, Nichols is open. Winfield, Leesville, Coachella, and Manny. And they got something for everyone in the family. Wedding gifts, birthday gifts, anniversary gifts, they can take care of it for you. That's at Nichols. Attorney General Liz Merle is our guest this morning, and special session starts today. Liz, what are you working on these days, or some of the main things you're working on?
Well, you know, one of the big things that I'm working on right now is a settlement in the litigation over our Supreme Court redistricting map. So we've been in litigation for several years. That case has really been pretty quiet because the judge has given us a lot of leeway to go out and negotiate a political solution rather than have him create a judicial one. And I appreciate that. I think that, you know, it should be decided by the legislature and the people, not by a federal judge. So we've been working hard on that. I do have a settlement. I'm collecting signatures, and I'll be filing a bill in the next day or two and trying to move that through this session as well.
So back to the redistricting, do you think we'll get an answer anytime soon on that, or is this something that's going to be a long process?
You know, I think we'll get an early answer on the plaintiff's injunction request, and then I think the whole thing will slow down. I mean, it really depends on what this three-judge panel does. I assume we're talking about the congressional map.
Correct.
On the congressional map case, you know, there's a three-judge panel now because they filed a constitutional challenge, and they intend to file a motion called a preliminary injunction, which would block the maps if the judges granted that motion. I don't really think they will grant it. They've been moving very slow. There is some Supreme Court precedent that says that tells judges not to block state elections when you're close to the election period, and it interferes with the process and it confuses voters. And so I think the closer we move toward May and June, the less likely it is that they will block the map, but that doesn't mean that it withstands scrutiny in the long run. We will have a trial on the merits, and I would like to see that move faster rather than slow it down, because I think we need finality. You know, we need to know so that people can kind of move forward.
So if we had an election today, it'd be on the old district lines, correct?
We had an election today, it would be on the new map, which created a second majority-minority district.
Okay, so that's what's law until that's changed.
Correct. That replaced the other map. And so that map is right now a live map. It's a live law. It has not been blocked by any court. But that's what this court will decide, whether to block that map or not. And so we can talk about what happens if they block the map. Then there's no map. And the legislature would have to go back into session and adopt a new map. Now, ordinarily, what you would do in that situation is just maintain the status quo. And that's what would avoid the most confusion, is to keep things the way they are now.
Okay, so...
And also antagonizes Judge Dick.
Okay, so assuming we have no idea what's going to happen, but regardless of what happened, good chance it will get appealed to a higher court?
I mean, I think that the plaintiffs, if the judges don't block the map, then the plaintiffs will either immediately seek relief in the United States Supreme Court, or they will push toward a final judgment, a trial on the merits, and take that judgment up to the United States Supreme Court. What's different about this case compared to the last one that we had is the three-judge panel. It doesn't go through the Court of Appeal again. We get one judgment from this three-judge panel, and then their relief will be in the United States Supreme Court, or ours if we lose.
You and Governor Landry spent a lot of time in the last 4 years litigating the previous governor and the Biden administration. Are most of those cases completed yet, or are still in operation?
There are a lot of them that are completed. The drilling moratorium case is it's over because the administration adopted a new five-year plan. Not a good plan, but they did adopt a plan. So that case, and they have been, you know, arguably they aren't really moving forward on leasing, but they pretend that they are. We've got a new one on deck on the LNG pause, but Congress might fix that problem, and that would avoid a lawsuit. We have some that, you know, we do have a number of cases that are still pending, and I'm certainly looking at filing some new ones.
On the LNG case, if Congress does not approve it, what's the alternative?
Well, I think that the issue with Congress is whether they can muster enough votes to do anything. There's no legal basis for what the federal government did. I mean, the Department of Energy has no legal authority to put in place a pause on export, on leasing. It's not on leasing. It's on export of liquefied natural gas to non-free trade countries. And non-free trade countries include all of Europe. So it's an extremely destabilizing move, and there's no legal basis for it whatsoever.
What's the current administration and the Attorney General's position on getting new voting machines and changing the voting process that we have?
Well, there's no question we need new machines. It's a complicated process when we purchase something that costs that much money and is that much of a piece of critical infrastructure for our state and for elections. So people need to have confidence in what we buy and how they work. And, you know, I think that that's a challenge for our new Secretary of State. I have great faith in Nancy Landry. She's a longtime friend of mine. We grew up together. I know that she is up for the challenge, and I know that she will do everything within her power to make sure that we have safe and trustworthy elections and election systems and machines.
In addition to all the things we've talked about this morning, how often is it that district attorneys ask the Attorney General's office to intercede on their behalf on criminal cases?
Well, pretty regularly. I mean, we get recusals from the DAs on a regular basis. I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, I don't have a data point for you on that. I know that we have over a dozen prosecutors in our office who are regularly handling cases that are as serious as rape and murder down to misdemeanors. And it just depends on what the need is from the district attorney. And we also assist them. So it's not just recusals. If they need our assistance in a case, then we will help there too. And then we've just taken on a whole new project in New Orleans to prosecute all of the cases that are coming out of arrests from the state police on the additional staffing they're sending down there to have boots on the ground in New Orleans.
So will that speed up the process in New Orleans or change the process to any great extent?
It should. I mean, you know, I expect to move cases. Like, I don't sit on cases. Once an arrest is made, if it's handed over to me, then our prosecutors are going to move those cases. And if there is some slowdown caused by the court system, then we're going to press that issue up through the courts of appeal to the Louisiana Supreme Court to make sure that those cases move.
If you and the governor are successful on the crime issues in New Orleans, how quickly can the average citizen see a difference?
Oh, I think you'll see it immediately. I think you'll see that the carjackings go down, the armed robberies go down, the murder rate goes down, and I think we will see a pretty immediate reaction to having more police presence. I mean, that the New Orleans Police Department is woefully understaffed right now. They need about 2,000 officers on the ground. They have about 800. And that is a product of a number of things, but one of them is the consent decree that's in place in New Orleans, and I intend to help fight that.
Our guest this morning is the Attorney General, Liz Murrell. Be back with her in just a few moments. Northwestern State University's foundation will hold the popular spring fundraiser Flavor of Louisiana on Friday, March the 15th in Prather Coliseum. Flavor of Louisiana is a seafood extravaganza. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungess will be there. Tickets are on sale now. There are a limited number. Make sure you get them while they are available. Northwestern State University.
Looking for new flooring? Head to Jay's Carpet One Floor and Home in DeRidder. We are part of the largest floor covering buying group in North America. You'll always get a good deal at Jay's. We are locally owned and dedicated to our community. Our flooring experts can help you select from thousands of styles, and we also offer window treatments. Come see us at Jay's Carpet One Floor and Home in DeRidder, 1515 North Pine Street, 337-463-7464.
For decades, we've been helping the folks in Western Louisiana and East Texas. With the addition of my daughter, Liza, who is a certified financial planner professional, our family tradition of proven conservative management continues. As the old man's still around, I'd say we're moving on up. Time-tested with rural family and investing values. Proven management of your hard-earned dollars in this day of economic uncertainty. Give us a call. Wayne Christian Financial Services, 936-598-9966, or on the web at waynechristian.com.
Nichols is your fishing headquarters. Drop by our sporting goods department and check out our huge assortment of rods and reels. Great brands like Abu Garcia, Luz, B&M, Shimano. Need bait and tackle? We've got hooks by Eagle Claw, lures by Strike King, Rattle Trap, Bandit, and Norman. Custom baits by Gary Yamamoto and Yum. Keep it all together with a new tackle box by Plano. Trolling motors by Minn Kota and boat accessories by Atwood. Before you go to the lake, head over to your local Nichols store.
My name is Maria Garrett. I am graduating with a master's in art. I learned about Northwestern State through an internet search. I was looking for a university that would help me with my goals in obtaining my master's degree. The fact that I can do studio art and have an art master's degree, but also attend online while also working full-time was phenomenal for me. And as always, Fork 'em Demons.
Star Pawn Gun and Archery, Interest Road, Leesburg, has one of the largest selection of hunting guns, home defense guns, tactical guns, and handguns in the area. Star Pawn Gun and Archery also has an archery pro shop, NRA, military and law enforcement discounts. We service and warranty what we sell. Layaway and financing available? You bet. Star Pawn Gun and Archery, Interest Road, Leesville. Call them at 537-1756. 537-1756. Star Pawn Gun and Archery.
It's If it's time to get your eyes checked, go to the experts, Louisiana Eye and Laser Center. They got 14 locations, Leesville, Nacogdoches, Winfield, and Alexandria. Call 318-487-2020 or go to laeyeandlaser.com for routine eye exams to the most complicated surgery. Our guest today is the Attorney General, Liz Morrow, of the state of Louisiana. And Liz, you came into a very unique situation. You were already with the governor when he was Attorney General. The program had been set up. I would assume this has been an extremely smooth transition. Has there been any real significant changes in the AG's office since you became AG?
No major changes. I mean, we had a pretty good operation. Jeff took a lot of people. I have to staff up. You know, I mean, I've got some vacancies to fill, and I'm happy to do that. I mean, I'm always supportive when people want to move on to something new, and it gives me an opportunity to bring in some fresh blood into the office and kind of get everybody thinking again. I don't like for people to be complacent, so I kind of like to keep people on their toes, and it's been good. I mean, it's a different role, Ted. I mean, my job as Solicitor General was certainly more narrowly focused. Now I'm in charge of 7 divisions and 560 people, and you know, just with an eye toward always looking out for what's in the best interest of the people of our state. And so it's a lot of fun, but it's also a big challenge.
But you've always had a reputation of being extremely concentrated, hardworking, getting things done. Is that something that's easy to get across to the 550 employees, or is that a day-to-day challenge?
You know, I think it's both. I mean, I always try to set an example. I do work hard, and there's no job that I think is too small. If the garbage needs to be taken out, then I take out the garbage. If that's what's helpful, then I'm going to do whatever I need to do to help support somebody so that we can be successful as a team. And I expect the same kind of attitude from my people. And I find that generally excites them. If they're hardworking and they love the work that they do, then that's the kind of leadership they want.
Closed primaries, is that one and done, or are we going to revisit that again?
I expect we'll be revisiting that in the future. I think we got started by closing the primaries for some elections. There was an amendment that limited it, but I think once people kind of see how it goes, then you may see us revisiting that issue.
But just out of curiosity, most of the nation has closed primaries. Why do we still stay in this archaic program?
Force of habit, you know, it's what people are used to, and the change comes hard to people, and when you change something that they're used to and they've been doing it that way for a long time, I mean, even though all the other states have closed primaries, they are familiar.
Mm. Attorney General Liz Morrow is our guest. Thanks so much for sharing your time. Look forward to visiting next month.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always good to be with you. Have a great day.
When are you coming back to Louisiana? I miss you more than you will ever know. When are you coming back to Louisiana? I lost a part of me. Touched me like a well-known memory of how we used to walk hand in hand. I pray someday she will forget me, 'cause where I'm going won't take me.